Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
That the nullification project, they try to nullify a legitimate presidential election in 16. That's a nullification project. And the Russia hoax, which, you know, I'm still the most interviewed, I think, individual in that. A topic they don't want on court, but I was the most interviewed for that, or interrogated, I should say, by the FBI in Mueller. Also House Intelligence, Senate Intelligence, on and on and on and on and on. And I got the legal bills to show for it, of which I paid out of my own pocket. So that was a nullification project. Then you had the phony Ukraine situation, of which we started the show, because we said, hey, they're coming for him on this Ukraine perfect phone call. It was a perfect phone call, particularly if you go back and look in history of what's happened since then. And Zelensky, the complete total promoter, right? And anybody, any conservative ink that's putting up the things, and I don't need to name names because the audience, this is a hero. He's such a hero. It's a complete promoter. Okay, now he's back begging for more money. I put it up on my thing, begging. They're broke again. Oligarchs aren't broke. Haven't, no oligarchs put a penny in. Okay, no Ukrainian oligarch has put a penny in. Of course, they just announced the other day that the human affair, the human rights minister of state that was on MSNBC and CNN nonstop about the mass rapes and all the atrocities, she's now gotten bounced. She's gotten bounced out of their government because she can't back that up. Also, she's got other issues with the Russians, with the Russian-speaking people being taken back into Russia. She didn't do her job there. My point is, that's another dumpster fire. He's coming back for money. Here's the thing. No money. Go to Germany. Go to France. Go to Italy. Talk to them. And those guys should stop buying his gas. Remember, their economy's on fire right now because the oil and gas resources, just like Saudi Arabia, just like the mullahs in Iran, just like Venezuela, every bad actor in the world, economy's hitting on all cylinders, not the United States, the exact opposite. This thing, I want to go back. Kyle Chaney is the lead kind of legal guy that follows all this stuff, all the investigations. What he said is in their briefing. Remember, because this week they had two performative things. They recharged this ragtag, whoever these beer drinking guys are, the Proud Boys, right? All of a sudden they're like the SS. Just take a look at them. Just you judge. You be a judge. They had to charge him with something else, seditious, whatever, this week, performative beforehand, because the FBI is totally corrupt and the Justice Department is totally corrupt, and we're going to get to all that. We're going to impeach Merrick Garland, and I believe we're going to get eventually criminal charges against Ray and Merrick Garland and all these hacks over there. In Michigan yesterday, right outside the gap, because you can't get involved, I think, 45 or 50 days before an election, before the primary, they roll up. The guy's polling at 19%. Remember, he's polling at 19% when they have a bigger field. They've already kicked out the top three or four candidates. I think it's Tudor Dixon and this guy. And this guy's kind of the lead in what I call the medical freedom. He's kind of a Naomi Wolf acolyte, right? And they roll him up yesterday. FBI arrest him for what? A misdemeanor. Yeah, okay, fine. Right before the show starts. It's kind of a curtain raiser. Give you a little tap, show you what's going to happen. Totally, completely politicized. Here's what I want to see. Where are you guys on the federal agents? I want to know every aspect of intelligence. We're going to get to the bottom of it. You shouldn't hide. The other thing you should understand, Gates is here yesterday. They're inundated with whistleblowers from the FBI. Patriots, hardworking patriots down at the working level of the FBI are blowing these guys up. Thousands of whistleblowers. Thousands. Let me underline that. Thousands of whistleblowers. On malfeasance and politicization of the American Gestapo, the FBI. I don't care if the FBI don't like you're the Gestapo. You're an American Gestapo. You're going to be taken apart brick by brick. Whether we need a federal agency like that, hey, that's for people to decide, but you are going to be deconstructed because the rot that you have, and we should have done it after 9/11. Let's be honest. Their performance in 9/11, where they all should have been fired, and I think criminal charges should have been brought against some of those guys for what happened and what went on. Absolutely. They'll never live over the disgrace of 9/11. It's horrible. And they're spinning and covering each other's ass, right? And then what they did in President Trump, but even leave that aside, just 9/11 itself, they'll never live off the shame. That's a day of infamy for the FBI. It was their responsibility. Oh, we didn't talk to CIA. I don't care about all that crap. That's the interagency process, the sacred interagency process. Remember, Trump was impeached. He was impeached the first time because he didn't, the fetish of the interagency process, It's the interagency process is just the flip side of the post-war international rules-based order. That's another fetish. It's a fetish. We don't care about that. That all that, your interagency process and your post-war liberal rules-based order allowed a transnational criminal organization called the Chinese Communist Party to rise in power from a third world or fourth world country in 1999 after the Bushes bailed them out after Tiananmen Square and sent Scowcroft over there to tell Deng Xiaoping, don't worry, we got your back, and give us a decade, we'll have you in the World Trade Organization, we'll give you most favored nation. You don't have to make any changes. You don't have to, in fact, do what you got to do. You killed tens of thousands throughout China that day. Tens of thousands were wiped out. Go back and look at the Empress of Freedom, of Liberty. Look at that statue. Does that bring tears to your eyes? What those students and young people built in Tiananmen Square to replicate the Statue of Liberty, to send a signal to the world, this is us, we are with you. And not only did we let them be slaughtered, that Bush 41 in his New World Order went over there and kissed their ass, said, we have your back and we're going to let you in here. Their economy was $1 trillion in 1999. No economy in history has ever done what they've done on the backs of the slave labor of Lao Beijing. That's your post-war rules-based international orders. Where's the rules for the Chinese people? How are they still enslaved when you're making your money? I don't care. You talk about white supremacy and white nationalism. All these white people, I don't care about the leaders in Europe. I don't care about them. I don't care about them. I care about the southern border of the United States of America, and I care about Hispanic working class folks down there that are being destroyed. That's what I care about. That's what MAGA cares about. We don't care about the city of London. We don't care about Brussels. We don't care about Davos. You guys deal with that. You've been fighting each other for 5,000 years. You're going to be fighting each other 5,000 years in the future. We don't care. That's your problem. Figure it out. We bailed you out in World War One. We bailed you out after World War One with Hoover and the food in Belgium. We bailed you out in World War Two. We bailed you out after World War Two with the Marshall Plan. We then bailed you out in the Cold War. We've bailed you out in the entire 20th century. The cockpit of Europe, the cockpit of Europe dragged us in there. And do you have cemeteries over here? Do you have cemeteries everywhere in the world with tons of troops buried the sacred dead? That on Memorial Day, we go around the world to these cemeteries in Europe, in Asia. Do you have them? No, you do not. No, you do not. The United States, the deplorable sons and daughters. And where are they today? 100,000 troops in Poland, right? 100,000 combat troops right there, and they're pouring more in all the time. $40 billion of your money. They want more. They want more. They want more. In the Persian Gulf, who's there? American kids. Who was on patrol in the Hindu Kush for 20 years? American kids. Who's in the North Arabian Sea? American kids. Who's in the Straits of Malacca? American kids. Who's in the South China Sea? American kids. Who's at the 38th parallel? American kids. Your money, that's what the rules-based order is. Where's Liz Cheney's kids? Where are all the elite's kids? Where's their money? Larry Fink's taking your money and building up the Chinese war machine. That now we're going to have a naval blockade of Taiwan. The Chinese told you, they're up in your face. If you try to do anything on the economic side, boom, we're going to take the chips. Suck on that. So show me how tough the Americans are after we got that. And oh, by the way, we shouldn't let them take them off the island and put them in plants in Arizona and Texas. The plan of Dr. Peter Navarre and Stephen K. Bannon, that Larry Kudlow and Mnuchin and Cohen are all sitting there going, no, we got to let the free market. Screw the free market. It's a national asset. If that's Silicon Valley West, if we don't get that back here today and they shut it down, we don't have an economy. You don't have a free market. You don't have any market. That's what we're sitting here dealing with. And they're going to put that stuff up last night, and we don't laugh in your face because we laugh in your face. Let me reiterate this. Donald J. Trump won the presidency again on the 3rd of November of 2020. And Mark Elias and all you guys, and let's leave the machines aside as a topic for another day, but CISA already tells us it's going to be hacked six ways from Sunday. That's DHS. Donald J. Trump won the presidency. And he is the legitimate president of the United States, and your guy's illegitimate, and the American people are awakening to that. And we don't care what you have to say. And I dare Merrick Garland to take that crap there last night and try to indict Donald J. Trump. We dare you, because we will impeach. We're winning in November, and we're going to impeach you and everybody around you.
All righty. There you go. Did you catch that last one? I didn't hear that when I played that the first time in there. Courageous. Could you hear me? Okay, well, I didn't hear that last one when I played that the first time. You know, I heard it when he used the word "ass." Of course, that's in the Bible. But you know, I listened to it and I didn't hear. Well, he didn't get the whole word out. So that, but it still don't matter. That shouldn't be in there. And you know, I just like to tell, you know, find out why people. And I'd like to talk to Steve. If I talked to him, I'd say, you know, that doesn't make you any better. It doesn't make what you have to say, you know, and it doesn't, if you impress people, but you impress them the wrong way. If you have to use, you know, profanity to make your point, well, you're supposed to be a smart guy. And, you know, people that have to use that profanity usually, it shows what? It shows three things. One, a very poor raising up. Two, you know, very poor morals, and three, low intelligence, really.
Yeah, profanity is the medium of the befuddled.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, anyhow, listen to this. And, well, I got to say one thing. He didn't pull punches. He meant what he said. And Donald Trump is the legitimate president of the United States. We have that on a great big sign right out in front of our church. We have it.
Yep.
Because that's the truth. The truth is Donald Trump is still the legitimate president. The truth is they stole that election. The truth is it was as fraudulent as fraudulent can be. And all of the mainstream media was lying about it. And we were betrayed. We were betrayed by Mike Pence. We were betrayed by many of those in the Senate who should have stood up and did the right thing. They refused to.
The courts.
The courts.
The state legislatures.
The courts buckled, yep. All of them. Here you go. Latest incomprehensible surrendered to Black Lives. That's burn, loot, and murder, formerly Black Lives Matter, pandering. Chicago Public School announces automatic higher grades for Black students, even if they skip school and fail to turn in assignments. That's right. Oak Park River Forest High Schools in Chicago apparently believes that Black students are dumber than white students and must be given special grading privileges. So, I mean, here, you know, yeah. Why? The idea is, well, anyhow, part of the school's new equitable grading system includes giving students with dark skin, meaning non-whites, automatic higher grades because they cannot perform to do the same academic standards as light-skinned students. A similar thing occurred in San Diego several years back. Entitled Transformative Educational Professional Development Grading, that's what they call that. I call it abusing those Black kids.
Oh, it's destroying them, yeah.
It's destroying them, yeah. The plan was presented at a... This is why you get your kids out of the public school. Get your children out of there. The plan was presented at a May 26th meeting presented by Assistant Superintendent for Student Learning, Lori Forenza. The plan calls for what they call the... OPRF leaders described as competency-based grading, eliminating zeros from the gradebook, encouraging and rewriting growth of time. Reports explain teachers are being instructed on how to measure student growth while keeping the school leaders' political ideology in mind. This is unbelievable, but
they've shifted gears from equality to equity. So it's instead of guaranteeing opportunity, they're guaranteeing outcomes now.
Yeah. And that's the way, you know. Yes, sir.
There's a direct correlation between the collapse of the church in the United States and the collapse of the educational system. And one thing I did decades ago is I gathered the commencement addresses from the Ivy League schools, the very first ones. And if you read them, you'll see they were, many of them were great sermons that were preached to the students when they graduated. And I think last year or so ago, I get into a debate about a person about the purpose and function of public schools. And so I looked up the history of the very first public school in the United States. And I'm working from my memory here. I think it was in Boston, and I think it was called Boston Free School or something like that. So, but I read the history of it, and it was originally set up to be part of that school. The students must read scripture, understand the gospel, and as you see and read the history of the school, how it finally deteriorated and collapsed into essentially now a place of indoctrination, you can see the church retreat all across the board in the educational system. And when the church retreats, the devil comes in, and so we have now an educational system pretty much fully in the hands of the devil. And so I just see the whole thing, the government, this educational system, all tied to the church collapse and retreating from the responsibility that God gives them in this world. And the other thing, Pastor Ernie, is the scripture teaches us when we walk with our children to teach them about the Lord. So the education of the children starts in a home, and when they're educated on the principles and precepts of the Lord, they can take that, and there are students that do, and that students can confront this propaganda agenda in the school. So I would encourage people, train your children at home in the ways of the Lord.
Well, you know, what happens when the public school system, in many cases, is a very hostile environment for Christian children. And so what happens when you do that, and your children go in, and they stand up for their faith when they're told there is no God, or you should apologize for being white, or whatever, or maybe you're not a boy, you know, maybe you just think you're a boy, maybe you're a girl in a boy's body, and these things. And the Christian students stand up and say no, then they're persecuted, they're bullied by the establishment out there, but that will change. More and more of them are.
If they're educated with the history of our educational system, you know, they can be armed with the ammunition that they need to confront them with. Look, our first address here at Harvard, our first address here to the commencement exercises was a, and you can print them off, they're in the archives. It was a great sermon. And so Bucknell comes to my mind. Some great sermons were preached to the graduating classes of Bucknell. They can research the history of the very first school that was called public in the United States, and they can engage in an educated way and confront these people. And there's no way to overcome this, Pastor Ernie. No way. The truth always prevails. So I really encourage people to get an education about the history of our educational system.
Well, you're right, and that would have be much. It would apply much more to like college students who would have a better opportunity. But even the college students, when they speak up, and you're right, you know, you're telling the truth, and you're educating these people. But you're going to pay a price for it. But that's all right. People have to learn to do that. We have to stand up. You have to stand up and tell the truth. You know, speaking of standing up and telling the truth, let me ask John McTernan. John, you know, we were looking at those pictures of the Azov troops that were at January 6th. These were, and by the way, folks, whenever, remember, the opposition, they'll always accuse you of doing what they're doing. They'll always accuse you of doing what they're doing. And that goes right back to Satan himself. And so when they're talking about, they keep talking about these white supremacists, look, here they had the Azov Nazis that from the Ukraine who were trained, they came here, and they were out there at January 6th to riot. Now, the Democrats were the ones that brought them here. And so, folks, but hardly anybody knows that, do they, John?
No, Pastor Ernie. And I, for the life of me, other than there's agendas going on, we know. In fact, the New York Times itself brought out, I don't know how many years back, about these Nazis within the Ukraine and within the Ukraine government, within the Ukraine military. And we, as Americans, well, as the government, had no problem training and supplying Nazis. And then there's pictures that they've identified as Ukrainian Nazis at the January 6th event. I guess they were maybe agent provocateurs. But I sent you that article, Pastor. Did you get a chance to look at it?
No, I couldn't find it. But I will. No, I never did. But why don't you go ahead and explain it to us?
Yeah, you know, well, what is this fascination with the Demon Dems and the Nazis in the Ukraine? I mean, every white person here in America, they're claiming is a white racist. I mean, literally, they're saying, well, anyone that doesn't agree with their agenda and you're white, you're a white racist. But they have no problem supporting Ukraine that has these elements of Nazis in there, and they go back to World War II, Pastor Ernie.
I know.
When they stood up, the Nazis fought against the communists in Ukraine during World War II. I don't know if that's a big secret or not, but that's out there. And these Nazis have remained there to this day. So what is it? What's this fascination with the American government and the Nazis in Ukraine? I don't know, Pastor Ernie, other than they probably think alike.
All right, and what about what Bannon had said? Bannon had talked about, he said, about the lower-level FBI agents who are fed up with what's going on and are blowing whistles. He said there's thousands now of lower-level FBI agents blowing the whistles, and he threatened Ray in Garland and said, you're going to jail. So what do you think? Do you think that he's right, that there's, I know more and more, and they try to keep him quiet, and they try to shut him up right away, and you won't hear about it, but there's more and more of them are coming out and blowing the whistles on the corruption in the FBI. So what do you think of that?
I hope it's true. I really do. But I can tell you, I would say anything where, other than the lower level agents, you take like Washington, D.C., where their national offices, 90-something out of 100, they're all turning woke now and they're hard left. Quantico, where they train, where the FBI trains, anything like that. There's no doubt in my mind that they're all anti-American and they're part of they see it as the New World Order, and we are the enemy of America.
All right, I'm going to switch over here. Hunter Biden's favorite Las Vegas hitter, or hooker, Hunter Biden's favorite Las Vegas hooker got $20,000 in federal PPP loan for a female-owned sole proprietorship after Joe Biden took office. A Las Vegas prostitute who bought crack for and had orgies with Biden Hunter got $20,000 federal loan right after Joe Biden took office. Cheryl Dibovas, I'm looking at the way this is spelled. Well, anyhow, she received $20,207 loan for a female-owned sole proprietorship, according to the Daily Wire. And as a prostitute, the hooker's loan was listed under independent artist, writers said. So the federal loan was issued through Capital Plus Financial in April. The loan status is reported by the SBA as paid in full. which includes both loans repaid and fully forgiven from payment under guidelines, Federal Pay reported. The loan status was last updated in October. There you go.
This actually goes back to what you're saying about they're actually flaunting how corrupt they are. You would think after the Hunter Biden laptop, they would keep him under control and put an end to it, but they're just basically flaunting it. This is after the election.
Yeah, they're more and more of the films are coming out with Hunter with the prostitutes, and they said that's great. That's who we are, right?
Just think about Jimmy Carter with his brother
Billy.
I mean, he's peeing on the tires at the airports, and they, you know, took him out of the public eye. But this is business as usual.
All right, here, the truth about January 6th documentary to premiere exclusively on Gateway Pundit, narrated by political prisoner Jacob Lang from solitary confinement. This is the film is historic in the fact that it will be narrated by January 6th political prisoner Jack Lane from solitary confinement. With watch the integrity trailer, or the intriguing trailer, for the truth about January 6th. I want to get that because what we do is we always show these videos when we have, now when we talk about the Bible and current events, and that we, the groundbreaking documentary contains never before seen footage of and commentary on January 6th. Okay, and I'm looking at some of it right here now. A screen grab from the crystal clear new video footage of the West Capitol steps shows Jacob Lang tear gassed with his fist in the ear. The footage will premiere with the documentary, The Truth About January 6th. And so, the lies that they were telling, they kept saying, and every one of the talking heads, you turned up to the echo chamber, and, you know, with all the fake in the mainstream media, and they were all saying five police officers were killed. Not one. That was a flat-out lie, And yet, they never come back and apologize for their lies, do they?
No. Nobody holds them accountable.
Well, but I mean, but one thing, I think even though they did this, you know, what they did in Liz Cheney, they're losing credibility at a rapid rate. People are fed up. Just like, you know, the thing with it, well, like you were saying earlier, the scare about this latest flu, what was it, the monkey flu or?
Monkeypox.
The monkeypox. You know, that was supposed to scare you. You were supposed to go into and people said, you know what, we're tired of hearing it from you. Nobody believes you people anymore. Nobody believes NBC, ABC, CBS anymore. They just don't. We're fed up with it. And the same thing with the mask thing and the whole thing. So there you go, folks. It's we're up against the break. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. We're back. We're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. And, well, we have our fifth co-host, too. Clifford is with us. Hey, Clifford.
Yeah, how you doing? I want to go to a verse, but also at my site news, there's an article profiling a couple of women. One took the Pfizer vaccine. Her husband didn't take it, but she was mandated to get it from her job. She got something called CJA, like a rapid Alzheimer's, that disintegrated her brain in, I think, about 4 months. So she lasted 4 months, but the insurance company wouldn't pay any of the bills, which illustrates, they said the treatment wouldn't work anyway, but this illustrates how these insurance companies aren't going to pay for the medical expenses of these people. You know, that's a missing piece to the puzzle that's not being emphasized. But I want to mention Proverbs 25, verse 19. That seems to be saying confidence in an unfaithful man is like a disjointed foot. Now, I can relate that to the teachers as well as the media that are unfaithful, an unfaithful man. It's like walking around on a disjointed foot, like listening to these people. What do you
Well, think? Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Here, well, you know, I mean, it means exactly what it says. And we're talking about unfaithful. He's talking about a man that's got no faith in God. That's what he's referring to.
Right. So what people are putting confidence in, basically a demonic media and, you know, demonically inspired teachers.
Well, look what they're doing. This month is Sodomite Pride Month. So what does God say about sodomy, and what does he say about pride, okay? And so here they're saying, and I'm talking about all of the media, I won't go to Taco Bell anymore because Taco Bell took part. I won't watch the baseball games anymore. I feel that I'm better than that. I won't watch the NBA games. I used to love to watch football. I don't watch it anymore, okay? Because of the stand that they took. I won't buy Coca-Cola. But here, the thing about this, the very first time the word was used, abomination was described sodomites. And God's word, the Bible, is very, very clear all through Scripture that sodomites will not have their place in Lake of Fire, or they will have their place in Lake of Fire. It makes it very, very clear. In fact, they're, in some places, they're referred to as dogs. So there's no stuttering going there. So what do they start with? They start with the very first time that word term was used, and then pride. What does God say about a prideful look and a prideful heart? What comes before a fall?
Pride, right?
There you go. What do you think about all that, McTernan? Is he there?
Yeah. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So, and they have big signs: Gay Pride Day, Gay Pride Month, Gay Pride this, Gay Pride that. Every time I see it, I think of that verse: Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Here, you know, and I was watching, and of course, all the fake news media, all the, you know, we're promoting or pushing this, embracing what God has called an abominable thing, an unclean thing. They're embracing it. But here, I notice the Spectrum One news seems to be more into sodomy than the others. Okay, they seem to be more into that than, and then that makes you wonder just how many sodomites are there, right?
A lot of it's coercion too.
So, anyhow, yeah, there you go.
But that word confidence, you know, in other words, people are putting actual confidence in these people, in the media. It's really, there's zero reason to do that.
Well, I can assure you I have no confidence in them at all, okay? All righty. Thanks, Cliff. All right, there you go. Let's go to San Diego. Hey, Jack.
Yes, so we just had an election Tuesday, and everybody in California was mailed a ballot, and the response to the election was 18% of eligible voters voted, even though they were sent an envelope. So now I take you to Elon Musk and his purchase of Twitter. Twitter represented that 5% of the accounts were bought. The deal is probably not going to go through because Elon Musk believes that that figure is probably more likely around 90 to 95% of the accounts are fake. They're bought. And I think that's where people have gone wrong in the election between Trump and Biden. There's no way that 80 million or 85 million, whatever the figure was going to come out and vote for Biden, just like only 18% of California voted Tuesday. This is a guy that didn't campaign, and so where did the votes come from? You're not going to be able to...
I know where they came from. They came from Dominion.
Well, here's my point. I don't think you're going to be able to fake millions and millions of paper ballots. I think that this was a computer steal and that the people voting were not real people. They were bots. And I think that unless something is done about this and it goes again to the purchase of Twitter, that these things can happen. If you're going to have, maybe 15, 20 million bots voting for Biden or whoever the Democrats put up, they could steal the election again.
Well, they're planning on, if there's an election, they know they cannot win a fair and honest election. They can't do it, okay? And so they have to come up with something. But now, from what I understand, all of the red states have kind of hardened their defense against the election fraud. They've been working on it, the red states. I don't expect the blue states would, okay? But
well, I tell you, I'm 73. I've never owned a computer or a cell phone. I don't have an internet presence. Never have. Never sent an email. Never received an email. And some people say I'm a Luddite, but I don't think so. I think that the internet has been a complete disaster because I remember before the internet. You didn't have all these problems, and you didn't have identity theft, and now they're stealing home titles. Nothing is safe, nothing is sacred out there, and it's all due to the internet. And I mean, my son is 48. He's totally into computers. He's got all the devices. When he comes over to visit me, the last thing he does before he goes to sleep, he's got all this, the tablet, and his phone in bed with him. It's the last thing. He checks everything out. First thing he does when he wakes up, he's got all the devices in bed with him. And I said, son, I said, you're not only addicted, you're possessed. And I think a lot of people are possessed by the internet, and they're so concerned about their presence that this really does more harm than good. And I think there's going to be an awakening if there's ever an attack on the electrical grid and you go months without electricity because you won't be able to access the internet. You won't be able to use your cell phone.
It'll be like a junkie withdrawing from, like a heroin. You'll see people actually going through withdrawal. That's the truth, too.
And you know what's going to happen? McTurnan will have to go back to an actual Bible with pages in it. And he'll get rid of that tin Bible he has.
I do have a Bible with pages in it.
All right.
I just find researching the Bible faster on the computer. That's the main reason I like it.
Oh, okay.
So I'll leave you with this. My wife has a cell phone, but it's prepaid minutes. I think they call it a burner. But we leave it off except when we go on a trip, then we'll turn it on. We have it for emergency purposes. It's not something because what we use for everyday phone is a landline, which I think an emergency would be safer and more reliable than cell phones. I mean, you have to recharge those things every day. But it's just something to think about because, you know, another thing with inflation and everything and people need to tighten their belts, I think some people might save a lot of money if they didn't spend so much on all their Internet services. They can live without it.
Well, I think, you know, that might just happen. I think people will be. There's interesting times coming here to this country. And I think in the very near future, and this is why I'm telling people, they really, really need to make their salvation sure, because things could get pretty rough pretty quick.
So and, I'll leave you with this. I estimated that maybe 60 million people turned out to vote for Biden, and the rest of the votes were bought. And I think that's how he won, through fake votes. On the computers, when they tallied it up, it's just like what Elon Musk is going through. How do you tell what's a real vote, and how do you tell what was a fake vote? And I don't think they went down that road, and I think that's how they did it on such a massive scale. Unless something is done about it, it'll happen again.
Now let, you know, first of all, probably the reality is those people didn't really vote for Biden. Many of them voted against Trump. And did they get that many votes? No.
It's not possible.
It's not possible. Those votes were fraudulent. They were made up. You know, you have every dead person that's died since the Civil War voted for, you know, they had all of these fake addresses. You had all these fake drop boxes. Sometimes you had as many as several hundred applications with the very same name on it. You had The election fraud was stifling. It was a mountain, a mile wide and a mile deep.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but just remember last Tuesday in California, even though everybody was mailed a vote in California, that only 18% of the eligible voters voted. And, you know, I'm just saying, I don't think that there was that much interest in voting for Biden. And because how do you not campaign and you get 85 million votes?
I hear you. I got to move on, Jack, because I have Linda there, and she's prettier than you. Let's go to Linda Stair.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Pastor John McTernan, I wanted to thank you so much for what you've been doing in Pakistan. How can we support your ministry? Could you run that email or the website by us one more time?
Hey, Linda, I told him to do that.
Yes, you can go to usaprophecy.com, usaprophecy.com, and on there you find everything about me. And the easiest way is when you go to it, you'll see my blog, John McTernan's Insights. Click on it,
okay. And
right there is I have the way to contact me with, you know, any finances. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, kind of a pet project of mine. Are you familiar with Iran Alive Ministries?
Yes.
Yeah, they have satellites that go into Iran, and they're having a wonderful turnout for the Lord there, and I believe it also goes into Pakistan. So that's the satellite that nobody can stop, you know, no matter how crooked the government is, they can't stop the satellites from coming into people's homes. So I think that's a good ministry. What do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Okay.
In my particular case, we find the Hindus in Pakistan, I mean, just wide open to the Lord. They're like, they're not, people don't think of Hindus in Pakistan, but they're there, somewhere up to 10 million. They're very, the ones that we're working with in particular, they're called debt slaves. And they work for the owners of brick factories, and they're in debt and they can't leave. They're like serfs. So they are abused and they are without hope. And we come with the gospel and they just take to the Lord. It's amazing to see it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just finished a book written by Leanna, and she has the We Ignite Ministry, We Ignite Nation Ministry, and she's real heavy into India. And she described the same type of suppression there, a very demonic suppression of the people through Hindu and Buddhism. But people are coming in great numbers. Once they find out about Jesus, it's wonderful to see that they simply believe. And they're so happy to find a God that answers prayer.
Amen. Linda, we're at that time tonight where that's what we got to do. We got to tell them about him. And so, listen, I want to thank you for calling. Linda is... she is our representative out there. She's our contributor in San Diego. But John Holman, last night McTurnan was here, and he gave the invitation last night. So, John Holman, it's your turn tonight. You ready? You got 4 minutes.
I am, Pastor Ernie. So I want to emphasize something that John's ministry preaches, and that is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So here is the preaching of the gospel, and the following part shows you what the ministry and what the effect of the gospel is. And this is, I think, very, very important, which is emphasized in Abba Father's ministry. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So, folks, what we're presenting here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many, many people, you know, have had their hearts broken. The world that we live in, and the devil's goal is to steal, destroy, and part of that results in broken hearts. And so, but the gospel says it's preached to deliver the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are abused. So that ministry right there, the healing of the brokenhearted, putting broken lives back together, making you complete, is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe in him, and well, you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So that's what we want to emphasize here. Not just the fact that you're going to be saved, which is wonderful, wonderful, great news. You'll spend eternity with the Lord and all of his saints. The alternative is that you spend eternity in the lake of fire, and everyone should want to avoid that. But in this life, you can be made whole again by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, that is a tremendous impact on people, because a broken heart can manifest its way in many ways in people. Anger, bitterness, all manifestations of the works of the devil. And that can be overcome, that can be ministered to, and then you, in turn, can minister to people out of your experience with having your heart healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and look, who doesn't want to have their broken heart healed? Who doesn't want to be made whole? Who doesn't want to be made fit and right? And the Lord can use people like that. But when you do not allow the Lord to have his work and his will and his way in your life, You cannot become fit for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the great and blessed anointing that is on the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, and it can come on you. And as we talked about earlier, your mission then will be to go into all the world and make disciples. And the benefit for all these people is that they can have their broken hearts healed and minister to others. So folks, please, please get delivered. If you have a broken heart, get delivered. And you can come to Abba Father Ministry, and we have people there that will pray for you to have your heart healed. But folks, there's nothing better in this world than becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. There is, and you know, you and you get that peace that passes all understanding. That it's hard to explain. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.